Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fix the Family Fix America Radio Show!
Class, settle down, settle down. Before we begin, we shall say what we all used to say in our classroom before school began. You remember it, I remember it. It happened all the time. You get to class, the bell rings, you run in, you sit down, you hang out, you go get ready, and the teacher looks at you and says, "Okay, class, stand and say the pledge."
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, you may now please be seated. Thank you for being here. Fix the Family, Fix America Radio, the fastest growing radio, family radio talk show in all of the universe, but we can't do it without you. Thank you so much for being here today. And as always, we will go through the things that we talk about, the 4+1 series, positive fathering, make a difference mothering, pull through parenting, and finally reveal your success. The plus one is disease and the diet are big, 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 massive push to end, rid, and destroy all degenerative diseases that are affecting families across this planet. I am your humble, wonderful, fantabulous, excited to be here host, Jack Hatfield. Thank you again for coming to our show. What a week. What a everything. I mean, just amazing stuff happening this week. We've got all kinds of stuff. We got la 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 la. I don't even know where to start today. There's so much stuff happening. We've got the top five germiest, most disgusting surfaces in the world. So if you're like me and you do hand sanitizers, you want to know when you especially need to do hand sanitizers. We're going to keep you protected now that school's back in and people are getting the sniffles and the sniples and the coffees and the blah, whatever. So the stuff's running around right now. So we will tell you that. We're going to talk about a little bit about the glycemic index. Is that for real or no? Excuse me very much. And we're also going to go into stomach acid and acid reflux medications. What? Why is that such a prominent condition these days when it used to not be? We're going to reveal the secret behind the curtain. Wowie, wow, wow. We could get to the thyroid. We love talking about the thyroid. Then we're going to also talk about there's another group that thinks you're too stupid to tell your children that they can choke. So they're getting big time. And then the FDA is trying to save you from yourself in another really not smart law. And, wow, I don't know what to say about that. But I believe that's a great place to start. That's crazy stuff. But anyway, again, my name's Jack Hatfield. Thank you for being here. I greatly appreciate you being here. There is nothing more fun than having this show, having you involved. And again, tonight, got to say this, tonight at Greenville, South Carolina Earth Fair is Disease and the Diet Workshop. That's right. Tonight, Greenville, South Carolina, if you are within 7 hours of driving from Greenville right now, get in the car and start, wait. If you're within 6 hours of driving, get in the car and start driving to Greenville. That's only after you listen to this show, of course. You don't want to miss this. This is big time. I'm not kidding. We are looking at an unprecedented amount of news pertaining to children. Our dad of the week is another idiot, of course. We're looking at how brain exercises can delay or speed up dementia. What? And then, of course, a new study, which we talk about all the time here. Let's go ahead and talk about that right now. A study saying if you do not have a bedtime for your children, parents, listen up closely to this. I know so many parents. So many. I know so many parents that do this. They go, it's 9:30, 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. Their kids running around. They go, yeah, I need to hurry up and put my child to bed soon. What? Your kid's 5. Why is he up at 10:30? Well, he's not going to go to sleep. What do you mean he's not going to go to sleep? Well, you put him in bed, he's not going to go to sleep. Well, that's when you go in there and you say, go to sleep. You're the parent. But now this study proves everything that I've been saying is correct. Babies under the age of 5 getting less than 10 hours of sleep at night. And this is, again, based on parental activities. I am so sorry that you think because your kid says, I don't want to go to sleep, you go, yeah, okay, then that's fine. Watch some more TV or play some more. But babies and children under the age of 5 getting less than 10 hours of sleep at night, because remember, growing only takes place during the sleep time. Sorry. When I talk about sleep, I get sleepy. Anyway, getting less than 10 hours of sleep at night are more likely to be overweight or obese and have trouble, get this, being attentive and learning. What? You mean lack of sleep from children by poor parenting causes them to be, how do we put this mildly, fatter and dumber? Is that as mild as I can put it? That's basically what it's saying, right? If your child gets less than 10 hours of sleep at the under age of 5, they are more likely to be overweight and obese 5 years later, and they'll have no attentiveness and have harder time learning. What? And when I say more likely, I mean 80% more likely compared to others that had long sleep. 80%. Now, this is the first large nationally representative study to suggest lack of sleep contributes to obesity. Napping, not a substitute for sleep. It is better to keep your child up throughout the day and get them to go to bed at a decent hour. Now, my daughter, personally, sleeps 12 hours a night. 8 to 8, easy, no problem. Sometimes 7 in the morning, most of the time 7 in the morning, actually. But bedtime's at 8 o'clock. And that 10-hour sleep is always there. And that has never wavered, by the way. When we were in the NICU, remember, daughter was born premature. When we were in the NICU, lights off at 8. The lights went down at 8, and the babies were put to sleep. Now, they were awakened every 3 hours to give them food, but that was because you needed to keep the nourishment in the children to keep the growth going. And we did the same thing here for 2 years, every 3 hours. Get up, feed, go right back to sleep. We fed it in the dark. Simply got up, grabbed her, put a bottle in her mouth. She barely woke up enough to eat. Held her straight up because her sphincter in her stomach wasn't there. Held her straight up for about an hour and then laid her back down upright. You know, the crib again was almost perpendicular and laid her again upright. Came back 3 hours later, did it again. Came back 3 hours later, did it again. Then we finally woke her up for breakfast. That's right. And a lot of parents look at me and they go, I don't see how you did that. I couldn't do that. I can't stand when somebody says that. I couldn't do that. Why couldn't you do that? How can you not do that? That's my question back to you. How can you not do that? When it benefits your child, how can you not do something? When it benefits your family, how can you not do something? Are you so selfish at your own life that you can't take a break and give in to make sure your family or your children or your mom or your dad or your aunt and uncle are taken care of? What? Is that what you're saying? That's why you're here. That's why you're listening to Fix the Family, Fix America Radio. That's why you're among, a new study, listeners to this show are among the greatest of all parents. And I can't thank you enough. I get so many emails, inquiries on what do I do for this? What do I do for this? And I just say this, this, and this. And I said, you can listen to the show number 45 3 weeks ago. You can listen to show 52 2 weeks ago, whatever. And I'll give you more information. But then I also answer them as well. I can say, your kid's not going to sleep. You got to start preparing and staying on a schedule. Your sleep is at 8. You prepare for sleep at 8. There's no ifs, ands, and buts there. Sleep at 8, prepare for sleep at 8. That means somewhere around 7, start the slowdown, not a spin up. We don't even eat till 7. Why don't you eat till 7? Well, we don't actually get home. Is there a way to get home any faster? And if there's a way to eat, if you have to eat at 7, what are you eating? You should be listening to the disease and diet portion of this show, right? To know what you should be eating at 7 o'clock, 1 hour before bedtime. There's lots and lots and lots of stuff here. We give it to you all the time, but you can get it even faster by going to Disease and the Diet and sign up for our breaking news segments that come out. Whenever we know it, you will know it. And you also get the workbooks. Like I say, Disease and the Diet Workshop tonight in Greenville. Wait 46 more minutes and then get in your car if you are 6 hours away and start driving to Greenville. It's that simple. Tonight's workshop is, are we processing ourselves to death? You can guess my answer. You can guess the answer of the workshop. But it's definitely happening. And you need to come see why we say this. I am so, sorry about that pause there, but I'm so happy about how many people come out of these workshops and how many people are telling me they're feeling better, feeling more energetic, more alive, they're losing weight, they're healthy, they want to move more. From coming to these workshops and from asking the questions that they need to ask in the emails. And as always, you can ask us here at Disease and the Diet anytime you want to at Nutrify@diseaseandthediet.com. Nutrify@diseaseandthediet.com. We will answer all of your Disease and the Diet questions. We will answer And, of course, you can also go to anything at Fix the Family. Let me get the, what is the exact email at Fix the Family? Workshop at fixthefamilyfixamerica.org. You can definitely email us there, workshop at fixthefamilyfixamerica.org. Or you can go to fixthefamilyfixamerica.org website, and there is a contact list there, and we will respond, I promise. Go ahead and do that with any of your questions, and we will take care of you. I cannot tell you how just amazed I am at the fact that they have to do a study. And every one of you knows someone who sits there and they call you like at 9:30 and they're yelling at their children running around, their 2-year-old running around, 4-year-old running around. You go, the kid's not asleep? That's not what? That doesn't seem like it should be good for the child. Go ahead and tell them the study. You heard it right here, Fix Families, Fix America radio, and then tell them where to listen to this show. And then say, if your child's under 5 and they're not getting 10 or so, a 1-year-old baby should get 13 to 15 hours. 3 to 5-year-olds need 11 to 13 hours. And if they're not getting it, they're going to spend more time that contributes to weight gain as they're awake. So the theory behind it are two reasons, twofold. One, the child is too tired to exercise vigorously to do the exercise they need to do, or the more child spends awake, the more time it has to eat, and I don't agree with either one of those. Because, again, as a parent, a 5-year-old doesn't just go to the cabinet or run down to McDonald's and eat a Big Mac. No, the parent feeds the child. I don't agree with that. So, children who are less rested, too tired to exercise vigorously. I've seen 5-year-olds run around like a crazy person on 2 hours sleep. So, just stick to a schedule. Build an optimal sleep environment. Limit TV, computers, videos, all of that stuff from overstimulating your child. And do it every day. It's not difficult. At all. Stay on schedule. Children love discipline, as you know, regular listeners here. Children love discipline. All right, let's talk about how stupid you are. Fix the family, fix America. Stupid they think you are. American Academy of Pediatrics agrees that you are somewhat of an idiot. I hate to break this to you, but Pizza Hot Dog, when a 4-year-old choked to death his anguished mother, never dreamed the popular kids' food could be so dangerous. What? What? Now, some food makers, including Oscar Mayer, have warning labels about choking, but the mom says that's not nearly enough. And again, the American Academy of Pediatrics agrees. They're calling for sweeping changes in the way food is designed and labeled to minimize children's chances for choking. Now, do not sit here and say, Fix the Family, Fix America advocates children choking. No, doesn't advocate children choking. It advocates intelligence of the parent. Choking kills more than 100 children 14 years or younger each year. I'm going to repeat that. Choking kills more than 100 U.S. children 14 years or younger each year. Now, even one child dying of choking is too many. And I could probably guess the reasons behind it is food, including candy and gum. Those are among the leading culprits. Along with items like coins and balloons. Now, of the 141 choking deaths among children in 2006, let's do the math here. Pay attention. 61 were food related. That's what I said. 61 food related. So let's do a little, let's take our little calculator. Do. 141, is it divided by 61? I believe so. And that gets our, no. Other way around. So sorry. 61 divided by 141, that gives us 3%. So less than half of all the choking deaths were food related. And among the choking deaths, there's 141 of them. All right, so 61 children, food-related choking. But because of that, they're saying that the warning labels on the hot dogs are not nearly enough. They would like to get on to, they want to seek to make choking prevention a priority here for government and food makers. They're saying the high-risk foods, including hot dogs, which already have the message, raw carrots, grapes, apples, those things should be cut into pea-sized pieces for small children to reduce chances of choking. Some say other risky foods, including hard candies, popcorn, peanuts, and marshmallows, shouldn't be given to young children at all. Federal law requires choking warning labels on certain toys, including small balls, balloons, and games with small parts. Now they're saying the American Academy of Pediatrics says there should be a similar mandate for food.
Why?
What parent? Hello? Hello, I'm talking to you. What parent, especially listening to this show, what parent knows in their head small items can go down small throats, right? What parent hasn't heard to cut your hot dog up into quarters so that you don't have a full, you know, encased piece of meat? Raw carrots, when you feed it to your child, you say, chew your food. Grapes. Chew your food, don't run around, sit at the table, take your time. Apples, same thing. I don't know why you would give a hard candy to a child. Popcorn, how many children go to the movie with popcorn and have no choking issues? I would say a massive amount, showing the intake of dollars by children's movies. Peanuts. Marshmallows, I don't know. I guess right on the label it should just say, what about peas? Our peas are already cut into pea-sized pieces, but you can still choke on peas. Right? What about pasta? What about chicken noodle soup? You can choke on that little piece of chicken in that soup. Right. Cereal. Cheerios. They have a hole in it. So maybe if you're choking with Cheerios, you can breathe through the little hole. Right. What about pretty much everything? Are you listening to this, parents? Now, the Academy of Pediatrics is sitting here saying, the Food and Drug Administration, and we all know what good they do for us, to work with other government agencies. In other words, get some more government, getting together with some more government to do a little bit more government stuff to establish a nationwide food-related choking reporting system and to recall, I'm lifting my microphone up in the air, looking exasperated at the sky, recall foods linked with choking. The American Academy of Pediatrics thinks you are too stupid to parent, and you do not have the knowledge or the capacity to sit there and take care of your child and tell them, please, please chew this thoroughly. Be very careful. This is important. Stuff like that. Don't put coins in your mouth. Don't put small items in your mouth. Keep things out of your mouth. Remember, you want to accentuate the positive. You do not want to say negatives. Your mind does not process negatives. So don't put that in your mouth is the equivalent of saying put that in your mouth. So what you need to say is keep your mouth clean. Keep your mouth clean. The Academy of Pediatrics, who also thinks your parenting skills are lacking very much, they say the food industry should avoid all shapes and sizes, SpongeBob shapes, princess shapes, all shapes and sizes that pose choking risks. Now, here at Fix the Family on Disease and the Diet, we have other reasons not to eat that kind of stuff, but choking should not be an issue when the parent, yes, sometimes it will be an accident, and I so understand that. My daughter's only choked once. First time she ever found a coin on the floor. Way before the world was needing to tell her, don't put a coin in your mouth. Choked on it, got it out, scared her to death, never put anything else in her mouth again. Very similar to your first burn on the stove. You know not to touch the stove. They're saying the Academy as well is saying that make lollipops big old flat things like a silver dollar instead of round like a ping pong ball. Dum-dums, gone. They want to eliminate the dum-dum industry. Wait. That's an oxymoron. I believe they're perpetrating the dum-dum industry by getting rid of the dum-dum lollipop. So, Grocery Manufacturers Association spokesman was asked about this, and he declined to say whether food makers would consider warning labels or new designs, but said, and this is key, Grocery Manufacturers Association spokesman Scott Openshaw says, making parents aware of choking dangers is the key to keeping kids safe. Making parents aware of choking dangers is key to keeping kids safe. That sounds a lot like what we just said. Now, this lady who lost her son, she considered herself educated about her children's safety. Her son had eaten hot dogs before without any problem. That's the same thing as saying, I made toast 1,000 times till that one time I put the fork in there. She goes on to say, hot dogs are almost as American as apple pie. Actually, they are. And you really don't know how horrible it can be. I understand you lost your child to choking on a hot dog, and I'm so, so sorry, but to mandate that everything that has to do with choking must be gone, recalled, done away with, is a little tantamount to a little bit of grieving. Or tantamount to a helpless feeling because of the grieving. I can't fathom the loss she feels. I can't fathom it. I have felt the same loss twice, but of course my loss was short. It was lost, and then she came back. But to sit here after that, and go on a raging war for government agencies to go talk to more government agencies to recall and stop all foods that would possibly lead to choking would eliminate most of the food supply. Because I guarantee you, even if you created a, let's say we create a Cheerio block that was as big as a box of crayons, you still have to bite off a piece of that block to start chewing. And those bite-sized pieces in your mouth can lead to choking. What we need to do and learn is to understand that anything can choke you if it goes down the wrong pipe. If it's not going down the esophagus, then that is the wrong place it should be. It doesn't matter what the food is. Education of parents will make a generational impact in this country and on this planet. That is why when we fix the family, we fix America, and we fix it for generations. That is why you're here listening to the show. That is why we're all here listening to the show. Well, I'm here doing both. And you parents listening to the show, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you. Like I said, recent study. You are some of the best parents on earth. Please go to fixthefamilyfixamerica.org. Send me an email on what you're getting out of the show. Send me any questions you have or any diet questions. Email Nutrify@diseaseandthediet.com. And to get our latest breaking news, go to diseaseandthediet.com and sign up for the subscription service and get our workbook. Remember, tonight, Greenville, what are we processing ourselves to death? Are we processing ourselves to death? Tonight, 6 o'clock, Greenville Earth Fair on Pelham Road. Be there now. Shifts. You've been working your tail off. You've been doing what you need to do, and the people around you are not doing it, and you just can't take it anymore. So you say, no more. I'm fed up. I'm going to burst out on my own. Well, let me give you one piece of advice. Burst out on your own with all guns a-blazing, and by doing that, you go to sandhill.sohooffice.com, and you get your letterheads, logos, website, all of your computer needs, everything, shipping, meeting rooms, suites, you get it all in one beautiful little package tied up in a wonderful, nice green bow. And you take on the world. With everything that you have, you go out there and you make it happen. And the reason you're able to make it happen with such incredible growth, with such incredible fervor, that you went to sandhill.sohooffice.com and you got those people to help you. You got your logo created. It looks fantastic. You have your business cards. Oh, look at that. When I hand this out, somebody's going to go, this is a nice business card. When you mail that invoice, they're going to say, I'm going to love paying this bill because this envelope looks great. You can do it all yourself. You can sit there and look at worker A, B, C, and D and say, I'm done, go home, create your own logo. It'll look all right. You can print it out on your home printer. It'll look like inkjet printed on an envelope. You can print out your business card, one of those fancy tear-off business cards that you went and bought at the office supply store. So when you hand your card to someone, they look at it and they go, wow, this person spent $4 on this card. I'm not saying that's a bad start. Please don't get this wrong, but the person is going to say, he's just now starting out. I don't think I want to pay his very large invoice. He or she may not be worth it. Well, you can bypass all of those issues by going to sandhill.soloffice.com, getting them to do all of this, create your website, hand out your business cards with such class, and people going, this person is professional, they know what they're doing, and I want to do business with them. You can do it faster, better, and with superb quality by partnering with sandhill.sohooffice.com. Do it today. Don't sit around, look at worker A, B, C, and D, and just get mad. Do something about it. Do something about it. Encourage yourself. Eric Leggett of Fathers with Voices allows me to use that song, and it's on his website. We're going to have him on back again soon, but that song is just amazing. Encourage yourself, and that's what I'm doing for you, to go to sandhill.soloffice.com and get started today. Do it today. I'm serious. Now, back to You're Too Stupid. this is apparently... they are really, really concerned about your stupidity. The FDA now is trying to find a way, and they're doing emergency sections for this, people. I really need you to grasp what they're doing. They're getting it necessary to warn and get the word out to you, the American public. They are trying desperately to figure out ways, desperately to figure out ways to warn the American public that this thing that you're doing is bad. That's right. It has to deal with Benadryl, extra strength, itch-stopping gel. Yep. The American public, the FDA, got an emergency session, and they're finding it necessary to go tell... They've received reports of serious side effects from Benadryl extra strength itch stopping gel. What? Unconsciousness, hallucinations, and confusion. Serious side effects with Benadryl extra strength itch stopping gel. Everyone in this audience right now, I am positive that when I say the words Benadryl extra strength itch stopping gel, you know where to put that. Right? I got an itch on my elbow. I'm going to go over here to my medicine cabinet and grab my Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel and place it upon my elbow. But the FDA does an emergency session, and they're trying to figure out a way to tell you that some people have actually went, oh, I've got an itch on my elbow. I'm going to go over here to my medicine cabinet. I'm going to grab my Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel. And I'm going to eat it. The FDA has received reports of hallucinations, unconsciousness, and confusion in people who, quote, I'm doing the quote sign. Do this with me so you can see what I write real quick. Just put your fingers up and know how to do the quote sign. The FDA, of course, not saying you're stupid, but they're saying mistakenly. Put your quotes up. Put them up. Mistakenly swallowed Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel. People who swallow it receive dangerously large amounts of the active ingredient, diphenhydramine. This wonderful topical remedy, by topical, I don't mean it's the topic of the day or it's something that we heard about in the news all week. Topical, from intelligent people, means on the skin itself. This topical remedy comes in a bottle similar to suntan lotion. Okay? So they make it look like something that you're supposed to put on your skin. And the label, this is weird, right on the label it says for use on the skin only. Well, because of these serious side effects of people who, put your quotes up, mistakenly swallowed Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel. Johnson & Johnson has now added a new prominent sticker to the product cap, reading for skin use only. They're also going to change the label, adding a new prominent instruction reading for skin use only. The little words apparently weren't enough. The FDA is also, after the crackdown on Johnson & Johnson, that's right, the crackdown. They're saying that they've initiated consumer studies to better understand factors that may contribute to consumers, quote, mistakenly swallowing Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel. The FDA is now stiff-arming manufacturers of similar products to follow Johnson & Johnson's example and adopt similar changes to their labeling and packaging. I am not kidding. Oh, wow. Benadryl. Extra strength. Itch-stopping gel. Topical treatment. Hang on a second. I've got to do something real quick. Do, 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 be, do, do. Ha, la, la. Ooh, what's going on? What's going on? I would like to see a bottle of this Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel right now. Benadryl extra strength itch-stopping gel. There should be a place to purchase this at Benadryl Topicals. Okay, hang on. Benadryl Topicals. Their website has graphs. There it is. It's a bottle. It's got a new bright yellow bubble behind the picture that says, and it says, sticker appears on cap for skin use only. The very first words is, this product is not meant to be ingested. Benadryl on the label. Oh, new label. Wait, I gotta see this. New label. Benadryl, extra strength, itch-stopping gel, diphenhydramine, hydrochloride, topical analgesic, now in big blue letters on the label for skin use only. Use only as directed. I think they say that. Temporary leaves, pain, and itching associated with insect bites, minor burns, sunburn, minor skin irritations, minor cuts, scrapes, rashes due to poison ivy, poison oak, and poison sumac. Warning for external use only. Mistakenly. Put your quotes up. Just got a comment. This is ridiculous and an insult to intelligent people. The next thing they may do is put notices on gas pumps. We shouldn't consume gasoline. I agree there, Mr. Jerry News. Another comment. This is unbelievable. In the right mind would eat something that is for the skin. This makes no sense at all. I now see a black box label ending up on all skin creams now. Mm-hmm. Somebody just wrote in, read the label. Somebody also just wrote in, hallucinations. You just increased the ingestion of this product. Probably. You know, that's sadly probably true. Sadly, probably way too true. Oh, wow. Oops. If you say hallucinations, you probably did increase the ingestion of that product. I'm pretty sure. That's just absolutely stunning. Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow. All right. Fix the family, fix America. Sometimes I can't. I can't say much after I say stuff. Okay. Where were we? Where were we? Let's talk about germaphobes. Beware. That's me. I do use the hand sanitizer. I really, really do. So the top five grossest places All right. From the dead set obvious public toilet seat to the obscure bacteria-laden snowflake, we are living in a world that has a lot of microscopic bacteria. To put things in a grander perspective, there's an estimated 5 nanillion. Yes, I said nanillion. That's 5 × 10⁻³⁰ bacteria alive and thriving on Earth today. So our microscopic friends actually make up most of the world's biomass. They supersede both humans and plants. Okay. There's actually 1 million bacterial cells in a milliliter of fresh water and 40 million bacterial cells in a single gram of forest soil alone. These numbers do not include viruses. Now we don't muck around the mud no more and la la la, but we have found, they have found in this study, the top 5 pretty grossest places to be. Okay? Ready? Number 1, public magazines. You're in the doctor's office, or you're in the dentist's office, or you're in any office waiting. Someone goes, ah, whew, while they're reading the People, right? And cold and flu viruses survives on those dry surfaces in the magazine for upwards of 48 hours. Some bacteria can survive for months on end. Those alluring public magazines, especially those in doctor's office, have the potential for carrying the cold and flu viruses all day long. And then if you're doing it in the bathroom, that may carry fecal bacteria like E. coli. So, how do you get rid of this? Hand sanitizer will do the trick. Always use the alcohol-based hand sanitizer when entering the doctor's office. And if you read the public magazine, avoid touching your face and go wash your hands or sanitize. Okay? Excellent. Now, number 2. Office keyboards. Again, hand sanitizer will help you here. Computing tested 33 office keyboards for microbial contamination, and several office keyboards were labeled health hazardous. Just imagine you've got your coworker who's went through a year of sitting over this keyboard, typing, coughing, sneezing, dropping food. Ah, they found that they're carrying 5 times as many germs as the same office's public toilet seats. Most of the bacteria found on the keyboard was found in the nose, mouth, and gut. Okay. Number 3, the gym. Pretty disgusting place, public gyms where everyone sweats. Vigorous hand washing with soap and hot water is needed after exposure. Hand sanitizer will not do 100% of the trick. 2006 study found the cold virus on 73% of weightlifting equipment and on 51% of aerobic equipment. There is a real risk of viral transmission from shared exercise equipment. Thoroughly wipe down all equipment after use. Wear gloves and avoid touching your face in the gym. Number 4, worst place to place your hands and then put them in your mouth. Shopping carts. What? Is that the reason why we see so many rub your shopping cart down, wipes next to the shopping carts? Yes, it is. That's exactly right. I would suggest using paint thinner on your hands after going to a shopping cart because the University of Arizona found 2/3 of shopping cart handles to be contaminated with fecal bacteria, including E. coli and Salmonella, more so than the public toilet seats, the culprit being diapered infants. Infants that prevention riding in the shopping cart next to raw meat and poultry put infants at greater risk for acquiring Salmonella infection. What? They're also excellent transmitters of diarrhea and other potential illnesses, both to adults and to children. Yeah. Use the wipe next to the shopping cart. I'm just saying. And last but not least, the gross place to not put your hands in your mouth, the subway pole. The grime factor of the subway pole, the only thing I can tell you is simply burn or cut off your hands after touching it. Due to sheer commuter volume alone, subway poles are a prime source of disease transmission. Sometimes riding the rails is an unavoidable health hazard, But public places are always laden with all kinds of germs, and subway poles are perhaps the defining example of a germ cesspool. Unless you have open cups to your hands or frequently touch your face while riding the rails, the risk of infection is very low. But now new protective measures are being explored, including the use of copper poles or bacteria-resistant polymers on rails. But in the meantime, if you're riding the rail, go wash your hands, because the majority of bacteria are friendly, but the ones on this pole, living in that moist environment constantly, swapping from one to another, not good at all. I hope I didn't scare you from riding the subway today. You gotta do what you gotta do. But that says it all. Top five places for you to start washing your hands is all I'm saying. Get to it. Wash your hands. Very important. Acid reflux. I'm going to talk about this real quick. This was our main story of the day, and I'm running out of time. Like normal, everyone seems to have acid reflux. Put your quote fingers up again. Disease. What it actually could possibly be is low stomach acid. Pay attention here. When they're saying you have too much acid, that's not true. Stomach acid is very powerful. Okay? But if you have too little stomach acid from years and years, notice it's the baby boomer generation that the increase in these antacids are happening because of years and years of eating non-enzymatic food and dead food. But your hydrochloric acid in your stomach breaks down the proteins into essential amino acids and nutrients your body needs to stay healthy. It also stimulates your pancreas and small intestine to produce the digestive enzymes and bile necessary to further break down carbs, proteins, and fats. And they prevent disease by killing pathogenic bacteria and yeast normally present in food. Now, as you age, your stomach tends to decrease anyway, and a poor diet of processed foods, and you may find you have digestive and immune problems because you're becoming malnourished. When you don't have enough stomach acid, you are not able to digest protein, and improper digestive protein creates toxins in your intestines that set the stage for illness and disease. Improper digestion of protein also creates acidic blood, since protein is by nature acidic. Now listen, you also become mineral deficient. So when you have low stomach acid and you start feeling these pains and you go take a acid reflux medicine, which is now one of the most popular medicines in the world, you're actually helping yourself not to digest your own food. And by not digesting your own food, could cause all of those things I just said. Here's some common symptoms by low stomach acid. Let me get to this real quick. I've only got a minute. Bloating, belching, flatulence, heartburn, indigestion, diarrhea, undigested food at school, acne, rectal itching, chronic candida, hair loss in women, multiple food allergies, iron deficiency, weak peeling, cracked fingernails, chronic fatigue, adrenal fatigue, dry skin, various autoimmune disease. We're going to talk about this more. There's three ways to increase your stomach acid. Reduce or eliminate sugar. Add fermented foods and drinks and enzymes to your diet. And eliminate processed foods. Tonight, Greenville, Earth Fair. Are we processing our foods too much? Be there tonight. Our dad of the week is sitting in Ohio jail right now because he has raped his daughter. He has seven children. He's been raping his daughter for a while. He's been keeping them into a closet since September 1996 to 19 now, with a female child under the age of 13 all the way up to now. They've been isolated. He kept everybody in an 8x10 room with limited access to food, water, bathroom, facilities, clothing, and the rest of the family. Way to go, Dad of the Week. You do not deserve to ever see the light of day. Thank you very much for listening to the greatest, most fastest-growing family talk show in all the universe. Now, do your work. Go home. Kiss your significant other and your children. put in the bed, and have a nice night. See you tonight, Greenville.